Welcome to the Cool Tools Show. I'm Mark Frauenfelder, Editor-in-Chief of Cool Tools, a website of tool recommendations written by our readers. You can find us at cool-tools.org. I'm joined by my co-host, Kevin Kelly, founder of Cool Tools. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, it's great to be here.
In each episode of the Cool Tools Show, Kevin and I talk to a guest about some of his or her favorite uncommon and uncommonly good tools they think others should know about. Our guest this week is Guy Kawasaki. Guy is the chief evangelist of Canva, an online graphic design tool. He's also a brand ambassador for Mercedes-Benz and an executive fellow of the Haas School of Business. He was the chief evangelist of Apple and a trustee of the Wikimedia Foundation. And it's just really exciting to have you on, Guy. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, thank you, Mark.
Yeah, it's really great to hear your voice, and I'm a fan from afar and really delighted that we have this chance to talk about tools.
Yeah, same here. A longtime fan, Guy, and like all of your writing and have read so many books where you were prominently featured, so it's a real treat to have you on the show.
You say that to everybody.
No, it's true. It's true. So you've got some cool tools here, and the neat thing is I don't think I've heard of any of them before, so that's exciting.
No, that cannot be true.
That is absolutely true, especially this first one, Meter. That's a great play on words because it's spelled M-E-A-T-E-R. Tell us about it.
Yes. So Meter is just a slick little tool if you into barbecue. And it is a Bluetooth thermometer that you stick into your chicken, turkey, beef, whatever it is. And it pairs with your phone. And then it tells you the outside temperature, the ambient temperature, i.e., in the grill, right? It tells you the inside temperature of the whatever meat you've stuck it into. And then it does a calculation about how long, well, you tell it what kind of meat it is. So chicken is, you know, you want 160 degrees and steak, you want 145 for rare, et cetera, et cetera. So then it starts giving you real time feedback about what the temperature is of the meat, and then about, I think, 3 minutes before it's going to hit the desired temperature, it tells you to start getting ready to take it out, and it can even ping you on your phone to say, oh, go back to your barbecue and take the meat out, and it's flawless, and you charge it in this little bamboo container that has a AAA battery. So there's no cables.
Oh, man.
And, I mean, if you are into unattended perfect barbecue, this is it. This is it.
Yeah.
My only thing is I think I would accidentally put my Apple Pencil into the meat and use the meter as my stylus.
Well, you don't have to worry because with an Apple product, the battery won't last long enough for your...
But it's very slick. I mean, it's really nice looking. It looks, the design is beautiful, and it kind of does look like a stylus or something. It's just very slick and simple.
I promise you, it really, truly works. And if you're using one of these analog things that you bought in the utensil aisle of Safeway, you know, you are, man, it's like you're using a Vax. I mean, this
Most people won't know what a Vax is, but it's a mainframe computer. So what I like about it is it really kind of hints at this world of devices without cords. This thing that is smart, but doesn't have a bunch of cables on it, which is really, really cool. Yeah.
This is the next big thing. It's the thermometer of things as opposed to the internet.
Or the network of thermometers. And that's actually interesting. It's like, could you use it for anything else? That's sort of what I start to think about.
You could stick it into the Republican Party.
I don't know if it'd be hot or cold with that.
Well, you want to know when it's done.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. I'm taking a note of this because I think this would be a great Father's Day gift. I'm going to tell my wife that put it on the list.
Definitely.
Yeah, that's, you know, it is. I had not heard of it either. It is pretty cool.
Trust me. This is the Macintosh of thermometers.
Very nice. Yeah.
There you go. Okay.
And do you have the 165 foot range or the 33 foot range?
I have the 33 foot range, and you know, if I had to do it all over, I'd get the 165. But a man should never be too far from his grill.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, exactly. So, Guy, your second suggestion of a tool may not be much of a surprise for some people. What is it?
Oh shit! I don't have the list in front of me.
Okay, I think it's. it looks like a MacBook Pro.
Yeah. Oh no! But there is a story behind this. Okay. So yeah, duh. You know, guys, one of five guys. Let me say this again. One of guys' favorite gadgets is a MacBook Pro, but there's a whole story here. So I own like a 2018 MacBook Air, a 2018 MacBook Pro. And between those two computers, there's a total of 6 ports, 4 USB-C in the Pro, 2 in the MacBook Air. And so that just drives me crazy. So one day, on a total whim, I take a picture of my 2012 MacBook Pro and I say, you know, remember the good old days when you had 2 USB ports, your SD card reader, HDMI, you know, headphone out, all that. And lots of people commented that, yeah, I'm still using a 2012, 13, 14, 15 MacBook Pro, and I wouldn't switch. And I said, how can this be that people are using 4, 5, 6-year-old computers with, they must have smaller hard disks or smaller SSDs and slower chips and, you know, not Retina screens. How can people be doing this? So I thought, okay, so I go into my house and I find this 2012 MacBook Pro that I never had taken to Goodwill. and I say, okay, let's see if it'll take a charge. It takes a charge. Let's see if I can install Mojave on it. In Mojave installs. Let's see if I can install Office and Lightroom. Everything installs. So I start using it and lo and freaking behold, it works. So then I'm on an airplane and I read an article in Road and Track about this company that takes old Datsun 240Zs and guts them, changes the engine, just soups them up, and how happy people are with this. And I thought,
I see where you're going.
Why don't I do that? I'll take a MacBook Pro from, you know, the last year that you could have all the ports, and I'll go and have it all souped up. So then I have a friend at MacSales/OWC named Larry O'Connor, and I say, Larry, am I crazy? I mean, can you actually do this? And he says, yeah, no problem. So I said, well, get me the latest MacBook Pro that has all the ports and put in 16 gigabytes of RAM and, you know, whatever SSD you can. So he configures me 16 gigabytes with 2 terabytes of SSD. The price for this 4 or 5-year-old computer is $2,000. He sold it to me cheaper because I am Guy Kawasaki. So anyway, so I get this thing, and I swear to God, the battery lasts as long as a 2018 computer, and it's just such a pleasure. I don't carry any more dongles. I don't carry any more crap. Even if you have a dongle that has all the USB 3 and it has the SD card reader, it has HDMI, well, then I also think that Thunderbolt 3? It's just a nightmare. I mean, the fact that USB-C, the fact that a cable can fit in the USB-C port doesn't mean it's the right cable, right? Because there's different kind of cables and there's different speeds and different charging abilities. And so you're carrying around the most modern computer with 2 or 4 freaking ports, a bag full of dongles and cables, and you're never quite sure. And you have the most up-to-date computer, but across the room, you can't tell if it's charging because somebody at Apple decided to save 5 cents by taking the LED out of the charging. So now I am so happy with a MacBook Pro that's 4 years old. that I can see when it's charging or not, that I don't have to carry really any dongles or docks or anything. And I never would have thought I'd be happy. I call this Mac to the future.
Right.
Yeah. You know, Guy, this is crazy because literally on Sunday night, my wife said I need a new laptop because the other one, the trackpad was cracked. So I said, let's get you a new MacBook Air. I showed it to her online and she said, what is the deal with those ports? It only has those two little things. And so she said, I don't want that.
Yeah.
So I found on the Apple refurb site that, you know, that they had a 2017 MacBook Air that still had the two USB ports. And she said, that's what I want. So I bought it. We got it in. It arrived like an hour ago. And she is so happy. She said, this is great. Having those, the USB ports are there, the standard ones. It's all the stuff. She doesn't need dongles. She can use all the old external hard drives and everything.
So, Guy, do you have a particular model or year that you would recommend as a pretty safe bet for somebody to look for?
I would recommend people go to Mac Sales and, you know, go configure one. But I think the last MacBook Pro that has all the ports is 2015.
That's the one I have. I have a 2015 MacBook
Pro. Like a 13-inch, or do they make 11 inches? Or then I don't remember.
I got a 13.
Okay.
But you know, OWC/ Mac Sales just has this new 2 terabyte SSD, which is smoking fast. And so now the last thing I left out of this is, so I, let's say I had paid full retail, you know, there wasn't the Guy discount, I would have paid $2,000. And then if you look at how much a brand new MacBook Air or MacBook Pro costs, it is at least $2,500. But then when you add in all the dongles and docks and cables, I swear it's going to be at least $1,000 more.
Mm-hmm.
And now, granted, okay, I understand that maybe 95% of the world never plugs anything into a MacBook except the power supply. But for the other 5% who don't have a personal concierge to download their photos from their digital cameras and don't have a concierge to keep their MacBooks charged, you know, for the rest of us who also might have to print a label or scan something, it's hard to beat for $2,000.
So wait. So that's an important thing maybe to tell our listeners, which is that what this is a non-spinning. This is like like a USB stick. It's like a thumb drive. It's solid state memory that is put into as a substitute for any kind of a spinning disk. So it's both faster and it'll last longer.
And you can drop it because there's no head to crash, I think.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
I just had my big desktop iMac. They switched out my drive there and put a 2 or 3 terabyte SSD in it in the same place. So you can kind of substitute that in wherever you have a spinning drive.
And it completely changes the experience, right?
Yes. It's just instant.
Yeah.
This is great. So yeah, so your pick also should include OWC.com, which is Otherworld Computing, because that's where you buy the SSD upgrade kits.
Yes.
And can you do that yourself, or do you send your computer there to have it done?
Well, in my case, I just bought, you know, a total refurb, whatever. It was just open the box and there's a brand new old computer. But you can just buy parts and do it yourself. But I don't know, man. The thought of putting in an SSD doesn't appeal. I mean, that's like, to use a car analogy, you know, you have your own Datsun 240Z and a crate's going to come with a new V8 engine and you're going to put it in. Well, there are people who can do that, but I'm not one of them.
I made a mistake. It's actually MacSales.com.
And
the other thing I'll add is I have opened up computers to swap out the batteries and stuff in these ones. It's not too hard. If you go to iFixit.com, they have excellent PDF guides. you need, you know, some special kinds of driver bits and stuff like that. It's not, not easy to, I mean, once you get that stuff and follow those instructions, it's not too hard. As long as you go slowly, don't lose the little tiny screws, you can do it. But if you can find someone to do it for you, they can probably do it pretty quick and they're not going to lose the screws.
I suppose you could do your own root canal too, but I mean,
well, Mark has, he cuts his own hair too. What can I say?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
You cut your own hair, but you don't have a meter yet.
I know. I've got to correct that.
That makes my head explode.
So here we have, you have another tool. And this one looks cool. It's something that I've never seen before either. It's an Anker PowerWave Fast Wireless Charger Stand.
Mark, where the hell have you been for the last couple of years? Oh my God.
I've been too busy cutting my hair.
Like there are a lot of wireless chargers, right? I mean, some are even built into cars, but my experience with these wireless chargers, particularly the ones that you lay flat.
So what are we charging here? Just so we can set the scene.
Your phone.
Okay, so this is a phone charger.
Yes.
That's important.
Yeah, so there are a lot of wireless chargers that lay flat, but in my experiences, you're never quite sure if you hit the right spot. Mm. And so you have to wait for the phone to wake up to confirm. And you can't really use the phone while it's charging because it's laying flat. So the beauty of this Anker product is that it's at a, I don't know, 60-degree angle or whatever it is. And also, it doesn't matter if you put it on this charger, portrait or landscape. And so you have a portrait or landscape phone charging wirelessly. And let's just say that if you keep this by your bedside, it's much easier to just reach over and put it in the stand.
Oh, yeah.
Certainly than plugging in, you know, the cable. And it's even easier than putting it on a flat charger and hoping you hit the right spot.
So I need to back up a little bit because I've been out of it too. I've been under a rock cutting my own hair. And so will this charge any smartphone?
Well, any smartphone that has wireless charging, yeah.
Well, does my phone have wireless charging?
iPhone 8 on up will do it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then a lot of, Samsung Galaxy phones will do it as well.
You know, like 5 years ago, I spent a year working with Motorola. And we had wireless charging back then. And then, you know, 4 years later, Apple announces it like it's a new invention. But there's a lot of wireless chargeable phones. And you're right, iPhone 8 and the younger.
Yeah.
Because that doesn't work on my phone. Okay. So
you guys need to spend less time cutting your hair and more time.
I have an iPhone 6, you know, it works. It's like the new old phone, right? I mean, it's like, I like it's small, it's light. I need to put I need more internal memory. So maybe I should do what you did with your laptop, which is find a way to upgrade my iPhone 6.
Okay.
I wonder if that would be a challenge. I wonder if you can do that.
But the one key difference is that the camera has changed a lot.
Yeah. Well, I have a separate camera.
You have a separate camera for your phone?
I don't. Yeah. I carry a camera around I don't use my phone for a camera.
Well, if you had an iPhone 6, of course you don't. Oh, my God. Okay.
So this is pretty cool. Anyway, so the Anker PowerWave Fast Wireless Charge Stand, which allows you to charge things so you can see them, so you can use your phone. Also, you can be aware that it's being charged and you don't have to be so careful about
place. And it's $30. We should just say.
Not even. I just Is it? I think it's much less.
Well, maybe on Amazon. That the suggested retail price is 30.
Yeah. No, nobody pays retail.
Yeah, you're right. I have one question, Guy, and I don't know if you have experience, but my phone, I have a little magnetic sticker on the back of the phone so that I can mount it in my car on a little magnet. Do I have to take that magnet? Would it charge through that magnet? Do you know?
The question is an unequivocal maybe. It depends where that metal thing is. Mm-hmm.
Is it metal or is it actually magnetic? Because I have one of those metal things and it attaches to the magnetic thing on the dashboard.
Yeah, no,
itself is not magnetic. It's just
It's just like a big washer.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Like a little flat. But, yeah, like a flat metal, thin flat metal disc. It should probably work okay and just go right through that because the back of the phone is metal too.
Not been my experience, but maybe.
Okay.
I could tell you which thing to buy for your car that is not based on magnetic.
Okay.
If you want.
Yeah. Which one do you get for your car?
Which one do you recommend?
Okay. So, God, there's something made by Macally or M A C A L L Y.
Yeah.
And so, rather than you put the four prongs into your air vent or whatever, because I've never understood why you'd want to block the cold air coming to you.
Yeah, that's problematic.
Well, actually, the problem with the cold air thing is that it cools the battery so cold that it loses power.
Okay, so there's another reason not to use it. So what the Mac, I don't know how you pronounce it, Macally or Macally or whatever.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that,
So what it has is it has one of these like flexible arms, and then it has a thing it holds with clamping your phone, but the base of it is like a half a soda can, and you twist it and the soda can gets bigger and bigger, so you put it in your drink holder. So you twist it until it becomes big enough to be tight in your drink holder, so now it's not stuck on your dashboard in the vent, it's in your drink holder on an arm.
But it's not within, you have to look down to see it versus, I mean, you kind of, if you're using it to navigate, you want to be up a little higher.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, I talking to the people who have iPhone 6s and never heard a meter, I don't suppose you have a car that is CarPlay compatible, do you?
Well, our new car, the Bolt, does. Yeah. But the one I drive, that's my wife, does not. It's an ancient van that has that's not of this century.
Really?
Yeah.
I can't help it.
All right. Well, okay. So here's another. You can test our ignorance on this final pick here. The everyday backpack from Peak Design.
So I love to buy bags. All right. So I have multiple Tumis. I got, I don't know, Timbuktus, I have everything. But Peak Design has built this beautiful bag that has, a great pocket in the back for a great sleeve for your MacBook Pro and an iPad. The sides open up so that you can take your DSLR in and out very easy, not from the top, but from the side. And the inside has that kind of material that the Velcro, you can put kind of shelves and padding with Velcro, because it's really for photographers to put DSLRs and their extra lenses. And it's just a beautiful backpack camera bag.
So you could put other things besides lenses into the pockets.
Because it's Velcro, in my case, I took them all out except for one. So... but the concept is, there's like three or four in there. So you'd put, your lens on the bottom, then the next lens, and then your camera body. And since you're stacking it vertically, you can't come from the top and get the lens on the bottom, right? So that's why both sides zip open.
That's cool. And it's like little shelves in there when you open it from the side.
Yeah. But I don't suppose that people with iPhone 6s and vans have DSLRs. right? You're probably...
No, I have a mirrorless. I use a Lumix mirrorless.
Well, but that's a, you know, that's like a modern camera.
Oh yeah, it's very modern. Yeah, I'm up to date on the camera stuff.
I thought you'd be...
You have to have your priorities straight.
I thought you'd be using a Kodak Brownie, but okay.
Yeah. No, I left that long ago. But so this is sort of cool because you could use this bag for you could put into this other kinds of things, you know, whatever. If you were, you know, if you're a painter, outdoor painter, you could put in paints into the back. You're if you were a hunter, you could.
No, this is
store your,
this is not
store your arrowheads.
This is not no. This is not for hunting. This is for laptops, you know, pads, iPads, and camera equipment. That's okay. The sweet spot. I don't want to, you know, this is if you're hiking that trail in Spain, you know, whatever you call it, that
Camino del Santiago. Yeah,
you're not taking this bag. This is not a. Is not. You don't buy this bag at REI, okay? I mean, REI may carry it, but the design center is photographers with laptops,
yeah.
I think.
So, yeah, or like field okay. recording, something where you have some electronic yeah. equipment that you want to be have kept safe when yeah. you're kind of out and about.
Yeah, and you don't want to look like cheesy with a nylon backpack that looks like you're a high school student. Right.
That's what I used on El Camino.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I don't walk.
yeah, we just this is a great, it's like a great bag, well designed, and approximately how big is it? Just to give us some, is it like a day pack size, or is it more like a backpack?
Well, there's two sizes. So there's two sizes, one more like a backpack, you know, like a student backpack, okay. one more like a day pack. And then there's also the messenger style, the over the shoulder style.
Yeah. Okay.
So yeah, I could tell you each of these things I actually own. So this is firsthand experience. I'm not, you know, I'm not just making stuff up that I read a description. I have all these things.
That's cool.
Yeah. That's great. Thank you for those tips. So tell us about, you have a new book out. Is that correct? Tell us about that.
So the book is called Wise Guy, and it is not an autobiography or memoir in the sense of, you know, look at me, I'm so great. This is a collection of stories that shape my life that I believe each contains nugget or nuggets of wisdom that I'd like to pass along. And so if you're familiar with Chicken Soup for the Soul, it's mm-hmm. it's kind of like Chicken Soup for the Soul, except they're all my stories. They're not contributed. And actually, there's a chapter where I put some of my friends in there. But basically, you know, think of it as miso soup for the soul. So it's and I'll give you an example of a story that's in it to provide, you know, a peek into what's in there. So I used to live in San Francisco on Union Street, right where it dead ends into the Presidio. So if you're familiar with that area, it's called Cow Hollow, and it's a very nice part of San Francisco. So one day I'm out there cutting the bougainvillea hedge, and this older white woman comes up to me and says, "Do you do lawns?" So I said, "Well, I'm Japanese American, so you think I'm the yard man, right?" She goes, No. It's because you're doing such a great job. I thought I would ask if you're doing lawns." So anyway, that's kind of a good story there about, you know, racial profiling. But wait, it gets better. So 2 weeks later, my father comes and visits me, and I tell him this story. And I'm third generation Japanese American. He's second. You know, he served in the U.S. Army, the whole shot. And I think he's just going to go off on her, right? Like, how dare this woman ask my son if he's the yard man just because he's Japanese? You know, she didn't realize that you went to Stanford and you work for Apple and you've written 5 books, you know, whatever. But instead, he says to me, "You know, son, in Cow Hollow, where you live, a Japanese guy cutting a hedge in front of a big house, most likely you were the yard man. so get over it. And I tell you, that was a monumental day in my life, because my father was telling me, man up, don't look for problems where there aren't any, give people the benefit of the doubt, don't have a chip on your shoulder, you know, take the high road and use humor. But, you know, it's not always about you. And that was a pivotal moment in my life. So the book is full of stories like that.
That sounds great. And is the book out now?
Yes. Yes, it is. You know, it's hard to avoid online. It's everywhere.
Great. So one of the things as an author that I'm interested in is ways in which your mind was changed as you were writing the book.
Yeah.
And was there something that you changed your mind about between starting the book and finishing your book?
Well, I changed the title. So this is another great story that's in the book. So one day, this is about 15 years ago, I had a Porsche 911. And this is just after I started Garage and, you know, the whole dot-com days, everything was like, you know, to infinity and beyond, right? So I stop at this stoplight on El Camino in Menlo Park, and I look to my left, and there's a car with four teenage girls. And they're looking at me, and they're laughing, and they're making eye contact and smiling, and I'm thinking, you see? Everybody knows who I am. It's because of my work at Apple. It's because of my garage.com, hot.com startup, because of my writing and my speaking. You know, I'm thinking I have truly arrived. So the girl in the front seat motions to roll down my window. So I roll down my window. She sticks out her head and she says to me, "Are you Jackie Chan?" So I wanted to call the book, "Are You Jackie Chan?" And my publishers talked me out of it.
That's awesome.
But there is some wisdom in this story. And the wisdom is that, you know, you shouldn't be proud about what motivates you in life. That it's not always about denting the universe, like Steve says, or about, you know, saving mankind or ending global climate change or anything like that. In my case, one of my motivations in life is that someday Jackie Chan will pull up to a stop sign in his Rolls Royce or Bentley or hopefully Mercedes-Benz S-Class, car full of girls next to him, motions for him to roll down his window, and one of them sticks their head out and says, "Are you Guy Kawasaki?"
Definitely.
Oh, yeah, that's something to dream. That's the dream.
Everybody has to have dreams. You know?
Right. Yeah.
Kamala Harris wants to be president, and I want to be confused with Jackie Chan. Yep.
I certainly know how to give you a birthday present.
Well, Guy, this has been a blast talking with you. You're just delightful. A really, really great picks for tools too. That meter is on my radar now for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Those are all things we hadn't heard of before. I love your hack, the retro hack on the new old MacBook.
Really
cool. So that's a great. And so we'll have to do it again. We wish you best of success with your Wise Guy book.
Thank you.
And we'll see you around the valley.
All right. Thank you so much, guys. A real. So fun. I seldom have this much fun on a podcast.
Well, you tell everybody that. I know.